Would you like lasting joy? This is Father Scott Seethaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Wednesday, and if by this point in the week you're feeling overwhelmed by your duties, obligations, responsibility, your job, listen, you got to laugh today. Laughter's the music of the heart. Laughter's pain turned inside out. Laughter's the shock absorber of life's hard knocks. You know our world would be uninhabitable if we couldn't laugh. Sometimes the only sense you can make out of life is a sense of humor. So it's become very important, if you're starting to feel quite overwhelmed today, that you laugh. Find a reason to laugh. And then share a laugh with somebody else and you've made a real friend. I can't tell you how often it's important that laughter gets you through some very difficult situations. You know, every Wednesday this year we're going to celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christmas on Wednesday by looking at the background of Christmas songs. And today's song is one of the most famous Christmas songs. It's called Joy to the World. And I'm going to be sharing with you from a book entitled Stories Behind the Best Love Songs of Christmas, written by Ace Collins. Here's what he writes about Joy to the World. Two brilliant songwriters, although they never met, together created one of Christmas's most lasting songs. Each of these two musical icons ignored the established way of doing things and blazed new trails in every facet of their work. Moreover, the men who brought the song to the world were both trying to bring religious music into a new era. Since they lived half a world away from each other and were separated by almost a century of time, little did either of these revolutionaries realize that through their collaboration they would create a timeless holiday classic for every age and every audience. As a matter of fact, Isaac Watts and Lowell Mason probably didn't even know that they had given the world a Christmas anthem at all. Isaac Watts was born on July 17, 1674 in Southampton, England. His father, also named Isaac, was a revolutionary Protestant church figure in Britain. Strong-willed and stubborn, the elder Watts, a cobbler and tailor by trade, resided in prison when his son was born. He was a criminal nonconformist, having been found guilty of teaching radical ideas that were not approved by the Church of England or established scholars of the time. At a very early age, it was obvious that the senior Watts had passed his free-thinking ways on to his son. Isaac Watts grew up worshiping at Southampton's above-bar congregational church. Most British children who displayed Isaac's intellectual potential would have been assigned to Oxford or Cambridge. Yet because he was not a member of the Church of England, Isaac was sent to the Independent Academy at Stoke Newington. There, no doubt, spurred on by his father's example, he continued to display his rebellious nature. Not content to allow things to remain status quo, Watts questioned everything. He demanded to know why he or anyone else should be satisfied with the way things were when they could be so much better. Like most young people, Watts found church music of the period to be uninspired and monotonous. He saw no joy or emotion in the standards sung by choirs and congregations. Yet while most of the new generation kept quiet, Isaac complained bitterly to his father about the archaic language of the psalms sung in church. The elder Watts, never one to stand on tradition, challenged his son to come up with something better. This challenge initiated a creative burst that would not end until Isaac had composed more than 600 hymns and hundreds of other poems. Behold the Glories of the Lamb was the first Isaac Watts hymn. It was followed by scores of others. For a while, most of his work was met with contempt. No one wanted new translations of the scriptures. Some even viewed young Watts as a heretic or a tool of the devil. Yet he refused to give up. He constantly challenged those around him with new songs and new ideas on faith. After spending several years making his living as a personal tutor, Watts became the assistant to Dr. Isaac Chauncey at Mark Lane Independent Chapel, London. Within 3 years, the now 26-year-old Isaac became the minister. Thanks in part to his work ethic as well as his new ideas, the church grew rapidly. With his new position and respect that accompanied it, Isaac was finally able to publish his songs. Through his hymns and theological writings, Watts became one of the most known clerics in England. Elizabeth Singer, a young woman deeply impressed by the minister's inspired written work, wrote to Isaac and quickly established herself as his biggest fan. She proposed marriage via the mail. When he accepted, Singer anxiously raced to Isaac's side. Rather than cementing a lifelong love, this meeting ultimately focused the writer on his work, not on Elizabeth. Singer would later say he was only 5 feet tall, with a shallow face and a hooked nose, prominent cheekbones, small eyes, and a death-like color. Unable to look at the man and see the brilliance that lay just underneath, the woman immediately went back home. Heartbroken, Watts poured himself into his writing, never again seeking the companionship of a woman. It was while studying Psalm 98 that Isaac was inspired to write his most famous song. In verse 4, Watts studied the phrase, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All the earth, make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise." Focusing on this verse and the five that followed it, Watts penned the four stanza poem called Joy to the World. Set in a common meter, the poem was usually sung to the tune, "Come thou font of every blessing." Yet because Isaac had dared to rewrite the song, few British Christians of the time embraced the song. Watts did not give up his effort to make church music more meaningful to the common man. 40 years later, Lowell Mason was born in Orange, New Jersey. As a teen, he directed his church choir and taught at singing schools. Even though many thought of him as musically gifted, Mason didn't see a way to make a living at it. In 1812, the young man moved to Savannah, Georgia, and began a career as a banker. But music hadn't left his soul. In his spare time, he also learned harmony, wrote original melodies, and became a student of the composer Handel. With the late German composer as his influence, the banker sent off a book of self-penned music and arrangements to a Boston publisher. For the next 20 years, Mason was a mover and shaker in New England music circles. Like Isaac Watts, Lowell saw himself as a revolutionary. He was constantly battling the establishment with his own fresh idea. Schools at the time ignored music, so using his own money, he initiated the first public school music program in Boston. In 1836, Mason, whose love for the classical composers of Germany had not waned, composed a new melody inspired by two songs from Handel's Messiah. Yet when Mason finished his work, he had something brand new, an exuberant ode called Antioch, after the Syrian city that was a point of departure for Paul's first two missionary journeys. 3 years later, in a songbook entitled Modern Psalmist, Mason finally linked one of Watts' psalms-inspired lyrics to his tune. This time the people were ready for Joy to the World. In 1911, Elise Stevenson, who had scored huge chart successes during the early days of records with Shine on Harvest Moon and Are You Sincere, joined Trinity Choir for a Christmas release of Joy to the World. The Victor Records single climbed to number 5 on the charts and marked the first time that either Watts or Mason's music had appeared on popular contemporary music playlists, though Joy to the World would later inspire a rock music hit for a group called Three Dog Night. It remains a mystery how the hymn became known as a Christmas carol. Inspired by Old Testament and Scripture, with no words alluding to the birth of Jesus other than the phrase, "The Lord has come, joy to the world," would seem to be a song for all seasons, something to be sung in July as much as December. Nevertheless, for some reason, Americans embrace Joy to the World as a holiday standard, perhaps because of its jubilant spirit. It just felt like a Christmas song. And so I think you know the words, but let's do a little bit of them, okay? Joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, in heaven and nature sing, in heaven and nature to sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns, let men their songs employ, while fields and floods and rocks and hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Boy, that's an interesting story behind this song, isn't it? Well, today's food for thought comes from Alexander Pope. Who builds a church to God and not to fame will never mark the marble with his name. Another emphasis on how important it is to be humble. Now for our prayer partners. I want you to pray for the men and women of the Coast Guard. They're the ones who protect the shores. They're the people patrol the oceans around our country to keep it safe, so that people who need to be allowed into our country are allowed, but those people who should not, especially terrorists, don't have a chance, or drug dealers. Let's ask God to protect the people of our Coast Guard. And now for today's small attempt to make you smile or laugh. A judge said to the defendant in front of him, "What are you charged with?" The defendant said, "For doing my Christmas shopping early." The judge said, "That's not a crime. How early did you do it?" The defendant said, "Before the store opened." Gotta laugh. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me hear from you, okay? I love to hear from my listeners. It helps me to know that you are enjoying the program, that it's been helpful in your life. You can send me your prayer intentions, which I will faithfully take to prayer. We'll storm heaven together. I'll be your prayer partner. Any intention. I look at them all. I read them all. I pray over each one of them. And if you can, if you could send me a check to help me keep my hospital for the poor open in Oaxaca, Mexico. My mother was a great inspiration, and I named it after her, the Anna C. Thaler Hospital. You wouldn't believe the amount of sickness and the poverty down south in the southern part of Mexico. First there's Oaxaca, then there's Chiapas, and then there's Guatemala. So down south is one of the poorer places. Make the check to Tash, T-A-S-H, Inc. Send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Joyful, joyful Lord, we adore.